Welcome to the Two Man Game Podcast with Alex, Goss, and Kenny for the first time in a while. Okay, we're going to do, what are we going to talk about? Player of the Year stuff?
We got to say we're part of the Pulse.
Oh yeah, we're part of the Pulse Podcast Network. I'm sorry, got to mention that, repping the brand. Then we're going to talk, Wooden Award stuff. Mm-hmm. Who we think's kind of at this point the favorites, you know, kind of a group of people separating themselves. Then we're going to talk about the UCLA job. Of which Bill Walton...
You mean the Rick Pitino job.
Bill, I don't know. Did you hear what Bill Walton suggested? Barack Obama. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we got to talk through that one a hefty amount. And then we'll get into our scores of the week, you know, big game results since last time. And then our Player of the Week award, which got it. We got a good name for it. We like. All right. So, but first, Bob Marley. Okay, let's start things off. let's just start on the West Coast. Let's go from, it's like we're reading a book from west to east. You know, from left to right on the map, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's how we gotta do it.
So starting with the best conference in America. Conference of champions.
You know, I thought the Pac-12 going into the season, I was like, how can they possibly entertain me? They suck. And they're doing everything they can. They're like, you know what? You know how we're gonna entertain you? We're gonna be so incompetent that you're just gonna be so entertained by us. Every team
are you,
is like.
Are you entertained?
I'm very entertained. It is thoroughly enjoying watch UCLA players give up on Steve Alford as they're down
and
like
it,
20
it
to Liberty.
Somehow, like, makes Bill Walton funnier.
Oh,
to listen to, because it's like so like insane what we're saying.
Now it's like, okay, if you're gonna have a shit show, you might as well have like a comedic announcer. Like, I might as well have Bill Walton in his.
You think he's being
marijuana
about
induced
how,
thoughts?
Like, sarcastic. He's definitely.
Did you see
sarcastic.
Him talk? Did you see his video where he was talking to a? Ball coach. The fucking old coach.
John Wooden.
Yes, John Wooden.
John Wooden.
He's talking to a statue of John Wooden.
Oh yeah. He's like,
he's
John,
like, Coach,
yeah,
we need you.
Honestly,
he smokes so much marijuana. It's unbelievable.
I know. It's almost like, wait, why was his NBA career so short? Drugs, maybe? I don't know. They did a lot of cocaine in the '70s and eighties. Well, wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Well, ever since Bol Bol was kind of, you know, it's not, with that Oregon,
oh, yeah,
it's not very entertaining
and
over
then,
there.
Oh, they've taken everything out. Like, you know, this conference has two players projected to go in the top 10 in the draft. You're like, oh, wait, maybe I can watch them. Maybe that'll be fun. Never mind. Both of them are injured and out for the year. Kevin Porter and Bol Bol. Mm-hmm. Bol Bol said, fuck this. You know, it's... I've played 9 games, and I'm still the leading scorer, even though the rest of my teammates have played 18. Yeah, this team sucks. I thought we'd be good, and my ankle kind of hurts. They're like, he's in Kansas with his family making a decision. I'm like, oh, wait, he's not going to come back. That's how this works.
He's not going back to school.
He's not going back to school. He's going to use the facilities, I'm sure, to train for the draft. But, yeah, that's all good, I guess. See you, Bol Bol. We'll get to him in a little bit with our draft class talk. But, yeah, him and Kevin Porter, probably the two most talented players from an NBA standpoint in the conference, are out for the season. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. USC, Oregon, both train wrecks in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the whole conference, really. Because their best team, Arizona State, is now losing to teams like Utah and Princeton. Not a good sign for them. So the Pac-12, basically, instead of going forward, so you know what, let's really commit to getting better, like the SEC kind of did with basketball. They used to be terrible, now they're like, all right, some good teams. The Pac-12 just said, you know what, let's do it like the Atlanta Hawks, let's just blow it up and tank. All the coaches,
going to do.
Except there's no benefit to.
They're tanking.
Well, here's what they're
going to
tank.
Pacino.
They're tanking. Yeah, they're tanking,
tanking
the coaches.
For the first.
They want the coaches, man. They're going to be like, why is Y King Jones, why Coach Jones, man? Like, oh my gosh, why is Y King Jones coaching? California's like, let's just lose all the games so we can get rid of Y King. We have reasons.
He used to coach at Louisville.
Was he an assistant?
He was assistant.
Oh, the great Louisville coaching tree. You got your Kevin Keatses and you got your Y King.
He didn't
Jones.
Do anything that we know of.
Oh, I didn't even talk about that. But yeah, Pac-12. Just miserable. Miserable existence. Is there one good team in that conference?
Is there one good coach?
Is there one team that would get an at-large?
Washington.
Game? Washington is okay. I think they've got a few losses, though. They got like four, and none of them are to really stellar opponents.
They're playing another Pac-12.
Yeah, well, now they are. Yeah, you think, oh, wait, Arizona? No, Arizona loses to Baylor, and Arizona still doesn't have a real good win. They beat Iowa State, but Iowa State, all their players are injured, so it's like, what's the point? Yeah. Really, nobody in that conference has done anything impressive.
That's what scares me about that conference. They're going to be like the type of team that like steals a bid from Louisville just because, you know, the automatic bid.
Oh, like there's going to be an automatic bid. Like
it's going to be another like Cinderella type team that gets the automatic bid from
Pac-12. A team that gets the automatic bid is going to be like seeded 13. They're a mid-major.
And they're probably the best team in the conference.
Honestly, I guess there's an argument for Arizona State to be in the field of 64 right now, but they just lost to Princeton in Utah. They suck.
Utah's what, like? Six and
Kentucky six. Beat Utah by 27, and UK hasn't been that impressive this year.
No.
I mean, good God. Unbelievable. But, okay, so we're going to shift into, what, Wooden conversation?
Yeah.
Are there, like, odds on this stuff?
It was just released very recently. I have the list
showed up.
They do a list, and everybody says who they think, but, like, I just go to Vegas. Who's going to be... Odds for...
Technically, this list doesn't matter at all.
What is it? The preseason list?
Yeah. Well, no, it's the mid-season list. But you can technically still win it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're not on the list.
Oh, yeah, so it doesn't really... They put a crap ton of people on here.
They put 25.
Oh, 25 people. Okay.
So they have a good chance of getting it right.
Yeah.
Jay Morant is on there, my favorite player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I watched a lot of his highlights today.
Jay Morant.
God, he is fun.
That dude is so athletic.
That was so entertaining. I've never been more
He draws fouls better than I've ever seen.
Yeah, you haven't watched James Harden the past couple weeks.
No, like, he draws
fouls. In college?
Yeah, James Harden scored like 43 points yesterday. Nine
field goals. Yeah, 27 free throw attempts. That's insane. But honestly, like, who do you think's the front runner? Probably Zion.
It's definitely Zion.
But like, I don't know. I feel like dudes like Rui, Grant Williams, Schofield, any of those dudes could just like catch fire at the end of the season and just like pass him up.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, maybe Zion fades a little bit in conference play.
Like RJ Barrett could end up less athletic players taking, more spots.
Hell
shots,
yeah!
I guess.
It's usually a good sign for a team when you've got two wooden candidates.
Like Tennessee, Duke. That's about it.
I don't think there's many teams that are bad when that happens. Maybe Michigan. I saw Iggy Bragdikas is on there.
Yeah, he is.
Is Charles Matthews? He should be.
He's not.
What the hell? Charles Matthews is better than Iggy Bragdikas. Will they watch the games?
Was Michael K. Gilchrist ever a contender for a Wooden Award winner?
I don't think he scored enough.
Probably didn't. He might have been on an early list. Or very early list.
He could have been, yeah.
Well, Mikal Bridges... was definitely on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, McCall. McCall's better than Jalen Brunson, which I've said before.
Nevada has two.
Caroline Martin and Jordan Caroline.
No.
Or no,
Caroline and
Tony
Martin.
Tony Martin and Jordan Caroline.
Oh, Caleb Martin.
Wow, we're going to get to them in a minute.
Caleb Martin's better.
Oh. Caleb Martin's better than... dude, Cody. I like
Caroline.
Cody's
not as good.
Oh, I thought you were talking about between Caroline and Martin.
No. Caleb Martin.
Oh, yeah, Cody Martin's kind of like a point guard, though. He doesn't score as much, but he's a better passer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen Caleb Martin's form? It's the weirdest form ever.
Yeah, they both
have
weird forms.
So janky and like.
They both do.
He's like, kind of like Lonzo's.
I've watched
a
lot of them because they played 2 years at North Carolina and they started both years. Yeah. Or North Carolina State.
Imagine if North Carolina State still had both those dudes.
They'd be really good this year.
Well, I mean, actually, they'd be gone because.
Yeah, transfer roles.
They would have been seniors last year, but like still, that could have been a major help for them had they had it. Okay, so right now I guess the pick is Zion, but honestly I kind of like Jared Culver too. Jared Culver's been really good for Texas Tech, and Texas Tech is way overachieving.
I like Grant Williams.
Grant Williams is a good
one. Or Shamori Pons.
Pons has played well.
We may or may not talk about him later.
We may or may not.
I have a feeling we will.
Yeah, we might bring him up a little bit. I don't know if you heard. Had a few points. Had a few dozen points that against Georgetown last weekend. But okay, we're just gonna go through last week's biggest scores since we last spoke, which was, I believe, last Tuesday, Goss, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Monday, maybe? And, okay, so we got Utah 96, Arizona State 86. Arizona State, what are you doing? You lost Princeton, now Utah? Come on, like, it's on your home court. You can't, like,
do Utah. They play defense in the Pac-12? Because if you give up 96 points to a Pac-12 team, especially Utah,
mm-hmm.
what are you doing?
Kentucky played Utah and a dude, and some dude I've never heard of had like 25 points, and Utah scored 60. Kentucky sucks at defense. Like, come on, man. Bobby Hurley is... I don't think it's ridiculous to say he's the worst defensive-minded coach of anybody we consider good.
Yeah.
Another
He did coach under Coach K.
Another hot start for Bobby Hurley. You're like, oh, Arizona State beats Kansas in the early season. And then it's like, oh, wait, Arizona State sucks because now they've lost to Princeton and Utah back-to-back. What are we doing? Okay, so then last week, this was a little bit different than the offensive game that Utah-SU was. Minnesota beat Wisconsin in Wisconsin, 59-52. Wisconsin, 14 points in the first half.
I like Minnesota this year, though.
I don't.
They got Amir Coffey. They got
maybe Wisconsin just sucks.
I think it's what we're learning.
Well, yeah.
They got rid of Buzzcut Brad. Buzzcut Brad. Now they literally posted an Instagram picture. They go, the Buzzcut was so 2018. He's grown it out a little bit. It's now it's Crew Cut Brad, which I don't like. Bring back Buzzcut. That's how you're gonna win games. I mean, come on.
That's not how you're gonna beat WKU.
You're not. This is why you lose to Western Kentucky, because you have a crew cut. If you have Buzzcut Brad, he's serious. He looks like someone that's like an ROTC. He's just gonna he's gonna take his charge.
You look like a new Aaron Kraft.
Yeah, new era Aaron Kraft, basically. And speaking of Aaron Kraft, his alma mater, Ohio State, lost to Michigan State over the weekend. Michigan State without Josh Langford beat the Buckeyes 86-77 on their home floor. That was an impressive win.
That was an impressive win without Josh Langford.
Yeah, I was like, oh wait.
Best score by far.
I thought Michigan State was kind of overrated, and I was like, they're not that good. And then now I'm like, oh, maybe they are.
Wesson impresses me a lot.
Oh, for Ohio State?
He's like a big, huge guy.
I liked watching him and Nick Ward. I was like, that's like 400 pounds of blubber right there. In the paint. I thought the court was going to like crater in for a second. I was like, dang, man. Wesson was just unstoppable. I was like, hey, Michigan State, don't put short, chubby Nick Ward on a little bit shorter, even chubbier Caleb Wesson. Put a tall dude on him. He can't score on tall dudes. Jesus Christ. He's like 6'7". Even though he's... Yeah.
Hell, Malik Williams had the best success against Nick Ward defensively.
Yeah, just be tall.
He's tall and long.
Against these 6'8 chubby dudes that are good at scoring,
yeah.
Be tall, man.
Especially in the post.
Like, yeah.
Good scoring in the post.
It's hard to score on a dude that's 7 feet tall. Just put a 7-footer on the guy.
Never understood Bonzi Colson.
Well, Bonzi was just like another dude. Like, he could shoot threes, which is the difference,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, but he didn't, unless he... Like, was wide open, but...
Nick Ward... Well, his senior year, he shot more, I think.
It wasn't him, like, driving. It was him in the post, doing post fadeaways and stuff like that.
We're never going to see another Bonzi Colson, a 6'5", no-neck center. I mean, come on. When have you seen that again?
Didn't look like he had any athletic ability. I don't even know if he could dunk.
I don't even know if he did have athletic ability.
He probably can dunk.
Like, Hamadou Diallo could have bodied that dude and guarded him pretty easily, but... I don't know. That's what it looked like to me. Okay, so then UK, Kentucky lost 75-77 on the road against Alabama. Tevin Mack show. Guys shoots 29% from the 3-point line. It's the Kentucky effect, Goss.
6-for-8, yeah.
He starts off 6-for-6 from the 3-point line and like 20 points in the first half. It's like, yep, count it. I don't know what he did for Texas, but it wasn't that because they missed the tournament when he played there.
I don't know.
Shaka's sitting there. He's like, God damn it, dude.
I'm going to start by saying I think Shaka is the most overrated coach in basketball. But
I think he is, too.
He is.
I feel like Texas is the most overrated sports program.
He hasn't done anything there. And he has good players.
Gosh, he made the tournament last year as, like, what, a 7 seed? They had, like, a 14-point lead on Nevada. Cool. Nevada was like, got you right where we want you.
They're still not good. They have a ton of talent. They're just not good.
Oh, no, they're still not. Okay, so Kentucky loses. I didn't really think it was that big a deal.
It's not.
It's a road game.
Really?
Alabama's pretty good. I mean, you're going to lose those sometimes. Then Florida State, who was in the top 10, hadn't played a tough schedule, went on the road at Virginia, and Virginia just housed them.
They beat them by 13, but it was really like 20.
Oh, they were up.
A Virginia win by 13 is
a lot.
It's quite a bit.
They were up by like 20, like 50 to 30, and I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, Braxton Key goes for 20.
Leonard Hamilton sitting there, and is like, he's got that black undershirt with like the sports coat over top. The only man in basketball who goes with that look.
I'm going to say, I did say that Braxton Key was the key for Virginia.
You did say he was a key player.
And
he went for 20.
He goes for 20, and then they dominate a top 10 team. So
that's how it works.
That's how it works.
I wouldn't call Florida State a top 10 team. I don't really think they're that good.
Well, they were at that time. They're not top 10.
They're kind of like NC State. They just have a bunch of dudes. A bunch of dudes that can make plays. Phil Kofor hasn't even played that much this year. So, yeah. But Virginia looked good. Kyle Guy, the return of Kyle Guy. He hadn't had a great season so far. Hadn't been in the news as much. Last year they hyped him. They got him an AP All-American when he averaged 14 a game. He had 20 points, or 23 or something, which is, what, 38 or 39 with the Virginia factor factored in there. Serious star of the week potential. Okay, next game. Kansas went on the road and lost to Iowa State. 60-77 for Iowa State. Udoka out for the season.
Yeah, that's
and
huge.
That's a big. Mm. He is huge. It's a huge loss. 275 pounds worth.
Mm. It's gonna be big.
I mean, but I thought. But I got away from that. I was like, oh wait, Iowa State's good.
Yeah.
Remember, me and you talked about him in preseason. We liked him because we like Lindell Wigginton.
Yeah.
It's like, wait,
Lindell Wigginton. I just watched him in high school because he went to Montverde. You know, with like, Ben Simmons.
Other good players. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, no, and then it's like, oh, wait, their best player is Mariel Shayok, who transferred from Virginia, and some random freshman named Halliburton. Like, a lot, and then Wigginton's been injured a lot. It's a really weird team. They just have a bunch of guys, and it's like, hey, whoever's not injured, come play and score points. And they did that. And then guess what? A couple days later, they lose on the road at Baylor by 3. And Baylor's terrible.
That's what college basketball has been this year.
That's what it always is, the conference play.
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. The conference play. And then that's going to make a harder tournament. I feel like it's harder every year.
Ambulance.
To predict anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to know, hard to predict this next one. Nevada, 58. New Mexico, 85. New Mexico's like 7-7 heading into this game. You know who New Mexico? 27.
And they didn't have anybody like go like for 40 points or something like
that. Oh, no.
It was just like normal.
Yeah, it was just a normal game. They just got.
They just played good defense, I assume.
Nevada, you know how they're the comeback team. They always get down, like in the tournament last year. So they're down like 14 at halftime, and I'm like, oh wait, Nevada's got them right where they want them. You don't want to be up 14 on Nevada. You want to be tied at halftime. And then, well, they didn't make their threes in the second half. They lost by 27.
4-22.
I feel like it'd be completely justifiable for Nevada to not be ranked in the AP poll. Like,
they don't deserve it. They beat them, New Mexico.
Their best win.
Me?
You know what their best win is? Arizona State. They beat them by like 5. It's like,
now
okay.
That's looking worse and worse.
Is
now.
Nevada good? Even they're in the top 10 still. I'm like, how is?
Seems like they got good players.
You know who? You know who's on New Mexico actually? Carlton Bragg. Went for 9 points. We talk about Udoka. He's in the next line of Kansas big men that mysteriously disappear halfway through the season. Who
Billy
was
Preston?
Cliff Alexander, Billy Preston.
Those were all
Carlton Bragg,
off the court
Udoka
issues.
All of them.
This is an actual
Udoka's
injury.
Most,
but Udoka sat out all of his freshman year. We don't. They say injury, but what?
Wasn't Billy Preston like in the car?
Yeah,
he had
he
weed
just
in the car.
In Bosnia
Jesus
for like a month.
Did he ever make it back?
He plays for the Cavs.
He's on the Cavs. I think he's on the G League team, though.
Okay. So he's not like, yeah.
No. It's always those Kansas dudes. Anyway, New Mexico. Oh, they have Jaquan Lyle. Who,
like 26 years
got
old.
Got like 3 hand jobs from Katina.
He was
Powell.
Like, well, yeah, he was one of the people that like admitted to the NCAA.
He was like, man, I enjoy myself.
It's a good visit.
And then they have the guy from UConn, Vance Jackson. He was just like a good recruit like 4 years ago. Now he's on a lot of interesting players in New Mexico. Very intriguing team. Anyway, they win by 27 against Nevada. Oh my god. Nevada 4-22 from 3. That's basically how they survive. And they didn't make any. So yeah, they lose.
GG, how it works.
Indiana went on the road against Michigan. Lost by 11, 74-73. Zero bench points for Indiana in this game. Not gonna get you a lot of wins, especially against Michigan, who's like a top three team.
Well, who's on their bench?
Exactly. They like Evan Fitzner. They don't have any grad transfer from St. Mary's. They got that dude that hit the buzzer beater against Butler, Fennessy. That dude didn't really do much, though. Basically, they rely on Romeo and Juwan Morgan.
Fennessy got injured, didn't he?
No, he played the other day, though.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, if Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford, like, is just like, you know what, guys, today I'm just not going to
If Romeo Langford was like, I'm just going to prepare for the draft.
They'd like, be like, well, shit.
They'd be so screwed.
Indiana State would beat them by 40.
They can't score already.
They score 60 points. In it. Like they struggle to score as is. And it's like, you have Romeo and Juwan Morgan, yeah. who are like 20-point-a-game scorers if they want to be. Like, how are you still...
It doesn't make any sense.
They're really not very good. Archie Miller's lucky that he got Romeo to come. They're going to suck again next year. Like they're going to be really bad. They lose both those guys, right?
It's going to be interesting.
Juwan's a junior, but still, he's probably going to leave. Yeah, but Michigan, again, good defense. I mean, what's surprising? I was watching it. I think Seth Greenberg, whoever was calling the game, was like, you know, I think Xavier Simpson's this team's best player. I was like, what? They're like, the way he passes and plays defense, I'm like, this dude shoots 38% from the floor. Like, what? A lot of debate over who Michigan's best player is. Maybe they're going to win the championship like Nevada. And we'll never, or I mean, like Villanova, and we'll just never settle the debate.
Never settle.
We'll give Iggy Brazdeikis the Player of the Year award, and it's like, Charles Matthews, best player. Cal's guy.
Villanova 2.0.
I like that Cal Perry is still giving shout-outs to Charles Matthews.
Boy, he played at Kentucky. He should. I guess.
But like if Stoshkoye Jones goes for like like 0 points in a game for NC State, I'll just be like, I'll never talk about him again. That's the name Stoshkoye Jones, unless it's like back on the national spotlight, will not be mentioned by Cal Perry.
I'm convinced that everyone who transfers from Kentucky will have success.
Kyle Wilcher.
They're usually
Kyle Wilcher.
Charles Matthews.
Was amazing.
Wilcher was actually good for us, though. He made threes.
He couldn't play defense
worth anything, but he never really did.
He was very inconsistent from three.
Well, he thought he was on the Rockets.
And he had no post moves at all.
That's why Quade Green's going to be amazing.
Is he? He still can't defend.
I don't know.
This is a theory. Yeah, I bet.
But, like, Matthews was, like, the only dude who's, like, been amazing, but, like, on a really good team.
Kyle Wilcher was on Gonzaga.
That one Gonzaga team was like a 10 seed. They had him and Sabonis, and they just kind of...
Oh, I thought his senior year, they were good.
And they might have been all right, but they weren't, like, after he left was the year they were really good. Mm-hmm. Who are the other transfers? Stacy Poole, we never heard from him.
No, yeah.
Ryan Harrow. Ryan Harrow did some stuff at Georgia State.
Remember
the Ryan Harrow, Kevin Ware, RJ Hunter backcourt?
I do remember that.
Picked them to go to the Sweet 16 in my bracket that year, and I was really happy.
They had talent. They had a talented team.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they did. They had a lottery pick on that team, if you remember. RJ Hunter. Mm-hmm. Ron Hunter falling down will always be one of the best. Falling out of his chair as his son makes the game winner.
With the broken leg.
The game was like in the 30s, too, and it was like, what? Like the buzzer beater to win the game, it was like 38-35. It's like, holy hell. What an ugly basketball game. All right. We need to move on. Next game. I put this one in here for you, Goss. Oh. Miami loses to Louisville 90-73.
Oh, is that the game?
Okay. Yeah.
Very excited. We started out terribly. We were down 30-18 at one point. And then that's when we started realizing that, like, what the hell are we doing? So we finally, you know, went on like a run. We were down by one at halftime.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And then the second half, you kind of just crush them.
Yeah.
I feel like for Louisville, it's like, I know Jordan Ward's going to be good every game, and I know Christian Cunningham's going to be good every game.
And then everybody else.
You just got to hope you get stuff.
Yeah.
Like, against Kentucky, it's like, oh, wait, Ryan McMahon can't play in this game because he's a defensive liability, and Kentucky's too big.
Malik Williams had an amazing game.
Yeah. And Malik Williams, like, can't match the physicality.
He had 17, 11, and, like, 4 blocks. So I was very impressed.
I haven't watched Malik Williams play a good game. I feel like every time I watch him, he just sucks and gets foul trouble and doesn't fight
Chris,
for
I watched rebounds. Listen to the post game. Chris Mack said he hasn't played to his potential, like, in ever.
Was he talking about VJ King and Malik Williams?
Oh,
yeah. VJ King's like got mental health issues or something.
VJ King actually had a couple good games last year, and then I just think ever since then he's just. Like,
we'll always have that Louisville's, one game.
Louisville can't, like, take the next step with VJ King playing a lot of minutes until VJ King, like, makes himself a threat. Because every time he gets the ball, he never looks to, like, shoot or anything. Yeah. Or even dribble. He always looks to pass. It's like the triple threat, like, position. Dribble, pass, or shoot. Mm-hmm. He's only ready to pass.
To me, like, why isn't...
And he's not a threat on offense. Driving, and that's what he can do. Like, I don't know if how well he can do.
What do you think your best five-man lineup is? It's got to have Cunningham.
Cunningham, Wara, obviously.
Enoch, probably.
Dwayne Sutton.
Dwayne Sutton. And who's the fifth guy, though? Who do you throw into that?
It depends. What type of lineup do we want? Like, what are we needing? Offense or defense?
I'm saying put your five best players out there. You need to go win a game. Is it Malik or Kwan or Darius Perry?
I don't know. Ryan, like, McMahon? Chris Mack likes to go small, but, like, I would put Malik and Enoch in.
You like both
of them? If you want the five best players. And then Sutton, Wara, and Cunningham. That's a tall lineup.
Yeah, that is a tall lineup. There's enough three-point
shooting. But that's the five, yeah. Christian Cunningham can shoot.
I'm just not sure there's a lot of dribbling, like, playmaking ability with that lineup.
Christian Cunningham.
I know, but, like, aside from him, like, can Sutton put the ball Jordan on the ground? Jordan Wara can.
Yeah. Sutton can.
But, like, yeah.
Like, he's a good enough of a threat to do that. That's the thing with VJ. It's like, you only have, just like, make yourself a threat.
Yeah.
Like,
you just need a second ball handler out there, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, Warren's all right, but I don't think he's a guy you'd trust handling the ball a lot.
No.
Not as, like, a
playmaker. I'd rather him, his catch and shoot jumper.
Yeah.
No hesitation. Mm-hmm. Like, goes in about 60% of
the time. With his weird form and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Louisville. A lot of role player stuff. You get two guys that I think bring it every night, and then you need it to depend on everybody else. Some games like Kentucky you don't have it, and some games like Miami you do. Seton Hall, who has been up and down, beat St. John's and Kentucky.
Up and down is an understatement.
And lost to DePaul. It's like, are you serious, man? I checked the box score. Basically, this is how you can break it down. Did Miles Powell score over 20 points? If he doesn't, then they didn't win. If he does, then they do win. Like, it's very, very simple to analyze them.
He scored 25 against Louisville.
That's an outlier.
That is a big outlier. Sometimes nobody else played well.
His supporting cast is so... the other Miles. They have two Miles on their team at guard. And it was Kentucky players were getting confused. Ashton Higgins was like, I'm on Miles Kale. And they're like, not that Miles. And Miles Powell's like draining threes over
quad. And then Kale hit a huge three at the end.
Yeah. It's like, really, Kale. But yeah, DePaul. I like Max Struess on their team. He's fun. And Pantelis, Exedius. No, Struess is that dude that had that dunk a couple weeks ago that was just awesome. I could show you it, but I'm not going to because I hate you.
Okay.
Anyway, and then Iowa beat Nebraska 93-84 and then lost to Purdue by 16, 86-70. Like, what
is that? I like Tyler Cook on Iowa.
I'm a big Tyler Cook guy.
He's got, like, draft potential.
I feel like he could be, like, a John Collins kind of guy.
Yeah.
Just the way he just dunks everything. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Iowa's good anymore.
No.
I'm like, oh, wait, this is, like,
an average. Don't have their, like, white guys that can shoot anymore.
Oh, they got Jordan Bohannon. Like, Utah. They got Wisecamp. They don't have Utah anymore. Who's that other dude? Peter Jock. He's like French, but he was black. He could shoot threes too.
Yeah,
their front court is like what's good. They got Garza and Cook are their best two players. But yeah, I don't think I was that good this year. They got ranked. They beat Oregon and Syracuse, or no, Oregon and UConn at the beginning of the year. We're like, oh, okay. And then Oregon and UConn aren't very good. But it's like, what is Iowa? They lost. They got blown out by Michigan State. Then they beat Nebraska, who's all right. And they lose by 16 to Purdue.
Purdue just lost to Michigan State yesterday, didn't
they? Purdue's not anything special beyond Carson Edwards.
I don't make sense. Yeah. Iowa gets a huge win and loses to Purdue.
Exactly.
Who gets destroyed the
conference
next game.
Conference play, man.
Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, then St. John's beat Georgetown. It's 97-94 of the weekend. Chris Mullin, man, he didn't play defense when he played in the NBA. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't coach defense.
He doesn't coach defense, no.
I feel like in the Georgetown St. John's game, if it goes to overtime, they should require just Chris Mullin and Patrick Ewing to get out and play one-on-one.
I was just about to say
that. Like, in their suit, just like, hey, go at it. Both of them were like, shit, man, we've been drinking beer since we retired, man. We don't want any of this. Like, we don't even want to be coaches, really.
Neither of them are really going to be great coaches.
No way.
Not near it.
The older
they can be okay coaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, St. John's, they're good this year. St. John's they have two really good players,
St. John's
too.
Has a wealth of talent. Like, that's not good coaching. It's like, if you give that roster to any of the, like, to Chris Beard has that team in the top five.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I think they're undefeated, though, aren't they?
Who?
St. John's. Or they have one loss.
They have two. They lost to Seton Hall last week on a buzzer beater, and then they lost to Villanova the other night.
Yeah, that's not two bad losses.
Yeah. Nova's not that good this year. They've lost to Penn and Pennsylvania and
They've been up and down like crazy this year. Villanova.
Yeah, they beat Florida State.
They're taking a break from being just dominant, and probably in 2 years they'll be back to.
They're like, shit, we don't actually.
It's Jay Wright
running through the.
We don't have a player of the year. We don't have the player of the year on our roster this year like they've had the past 3 years.
Four years ago, he didn't get an average 3 or 4 star that he could develop into a superstar.
Yeah. he tried his way with 5 stars. He's like, let's get Javon Quinterly, man. That's a 5 star. 5 stars. And then Phil Booth gave him a bitch slap and was like, dude, what are you talking about? You can't do that. You can't do 5 stars. And then Javon's like, this was my second choice for a reason. He put that on his Instagram.
No, Snapchat.
Instagram story, I think.
Oh, it was Instagram story.
Yeah.
He's fine. He seems fine now.
He seems fine. Averaging
he's getting more
points. Averaging 3 points a game. He's like, God damn, man, this 6'1" white dude named Gillespie. Gillespie is playing ahead of me right now.
But yeah, but Gillespie.
Like, are you serious?
Gillespie helped them win a national championship.
Like Colin Gillespie. Yeah, he didn't really play that much, though.
Yeah, he played
in the Michigan game when they were up by 20.
They were like, don't you dare shoot. Just pass the ball to DiVincenzo.
Jalen Brunson, Amari Spellman, pick one.
Nova looks like they're going to probably win the Big East again because they're just
because who's in the Big East?
Yeah. St. John's?
They have some like sneaky teams though.
Yeah, exactly. That's code for
you got
they've got
St.
No
John's,
good teams.
Seton Hall, Marquette, and Villanova.
None of those teams are that good though.
They could all end up
after
winning
this
the tournament.
Week. None of those teams may be ranked is the thing. Last night, a couple games important. North Carolina beat NC State 90-82. Cam Johnson left early, but I kind of liked NC State. I liked what I saw. The only thing is they don't really have a go-to scorer. Torin Dorn, maybe? Markel Johnson, they're leading scorers, but neither of those dudes are, like, scoring crazy amounts. Like, you don't really know. Like, they're talking about this on the broadcast. In the final possession, it was like, oh, wait, we don't really know who to give the ball to. Guess what? They gave it to like White Walker for like a possession, and he turned it over. And CJ Bryce airballed a three, and I was like, "Oh God, this is no good." They had a chance. North Carolina let them back in that game, and then they just didn't seize the opportunity. You get to play North Carolina this Saturday, don't you, Gus?
Yep. It's a big game in Louisville at UNC.
Oh, at UNC. Oh.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, yeah, if Cam Johnson's not there, I think that's a major.
We have
major difference.
We have the worst February. Our January schedule is very easy. Our February schedule's
awful.
Insane.
I mean, I think we went over this last time.
Yeah. I'm very upset about it.
Yeah.
Cuz we could do it really bad.
Also last night I watched a lot of this game. Oklahoma lost at Texas Tech 66-59. Culver is just dominant. He had 0 points in the second half, and then with, like, 5 minutes to go, he scored, like, 10 straight points for Texas Tech. I was like, oh, okay, that's their guy, Jared Culver. Really talented. I like the Italian dude they have, David Moretti. He shot 90-something, 93% from the free throw line. And, of course, Oklahoma waits, and they foul him. Of all people, they foul him. I was like, "You kidding me, man?" Like, literally, the dude who shoots 60% was dribbling the ball up the court, and you'd foul the dude who shoots 93%. It's like, come on,
think.
Gotta think, and then of course, as every good team in the SEC does, they lose to a bad team. Mississippi State falls on the road at South Carolina, 87-82. How you let out South Carolina score 87? I think they're better than people think because they just played a bunch of good teams in the non-conference, and then they lost them all. But then they beat Florida, they beat Mississippi State, but they're still 7-7, so they're not that good. I was like, God damn, how do you like? Dude, they have no offense. Their best scorer is like a freshman that wasn't even really highly recruited, and Chris Silva, He was like the fifth best player on their final four.
How long has Chris Silva been there? It was like forever. He's got to be a senior, right?
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. Okay, that's about all the scores I've got for now. We can get in to the Dirk Diggler Award for the biggest, bright, for the big, bright, shining star of the week. Each of us have one. The Dirk Diggler Award brought to you by Thrive Fantasy, a new daily fantasy sports platform. By focusing solely on top-tier athletes from each sport while streamlining the draft process, they've created a unique daily fantasy experience that gives the casual sports fan an opportunity to compete and succeed at a high level. Thrive Fantasy, join now. I hadn't heard of it, but guess what?
It's pretty cool.
We got to talk about it. It looks cool. I like this little design they have on their app. It looks very simple. I like simple stuff, guys. I don't
simplicity, but it looks...
Yeah. So does Dirk Diggler.
He likes to say simple. Yeah. He's like, we're going to shoot when I'm goddamn ready to shoot.
And he's going to play fantasy when he's goddamn ready to play
and
fantasy.
And he wants it simple, man. You know what you don't need in that industry? People just making things complicated. You want everything to be easy.
Yep. In the fantasy industry, right?
Oh, but in the fantasy industry, you want everything to be easy. And with Thrive Fantasy, every day, it'll be easy. Pick your team. Pick your guys. NBA players, NFL, whatever sport you like. I don't know. Maybe they have golf on there. I haven't really checked it out too much. But yeah, check Thrive Fantasy. Anyway, Thrive Fantasy's Dirk Diggler Award for the big, bright, shining star of the week. Goss, you're...
First?
You're Dirk Diggler of the week.
Antoine Davis of Detroit Mercy.
Oh, man.
Titans.
Detroit Mercy.
Okay, here's why.
Can he build a car for me? Is that what he can do?
He averages 27 points per game, but that's not why.
Is he leading the country in scoring?
Maybe.
Possibly. Him and Jay Morant, maybe.
Last Thursday, scored 48 points. 10 of 15 on three-point shooting.
10 of 15?
Set a school record.
That's good.
Yeah. Next game, he just, you know, decent game, 33 points.
Only 33. Who? What competition was this against?
Wright State and Northern Kentucky.
Oh, Northern Kentucky, you know. Yeah. We played them in the tournament. Kentucky did a couple years ago. The Norse, they put up a good fight. You know, they're Vikings, man. They're tough. They'll take an axe to your knees if they don't like what they're seeing.
Yep.
Good for Antoine Davis.
Yes. Yes.
How do you spell Antoine? With O-I-N-E or something?
Yeah, O-I-N-E.
O-I-N-E. That's the way to spell Antoine.
Not like Antoine Jameson.
Or any of the other Antoines.
Antoine Davis.
W-A-N-N.
A-W-N.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to spell Antoine. I don't think two people spell Antoine the same way. And ESPN is stealing content from our podcast. They're putting up
They're putting up the Wooden Award mid-season.
Wooden Award mid-season. Cassius Winston, and that's the guy we forgot to mention. He's been really good.
Oh, he's the best passer in the country by far.
You think so?
I think so.
Best passer?
I think he is also one of the smartest players in the country.
I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, he runs his team well. It's like a couple years ago, I was like, Cassius.
Floor general.
I was like, Cassius Winston sucks a couple years ago. Like, he's like a freshman. He averages like 5 points a game. Yeah. I don't think I shredded that narrative, and now I'm like, oh wait, okay, I gotta accept that he's good at basketball now.
Mm.
He's like one of the best 3-point shooters in the country. So yeah, you're Dirk Diggler from Detroit Mercy. 27 points a game, Antoine Davis.
Hey, name. He's gonna lead them to a conference championship because they don't have the record that they need. 6-10 right now.
6-10.
But hey,
okay,
they're gonna hopefully go to the conference championship. But it's a tough
conference. What conference?
It's the same one that Horizon Conference.
The Horizon League?
Horizon League.
Man.
That's not a bad conference. Northern Kentucky's good. They're okay for a mid-major.
They've been telling tales about the Horizon League. How about the Sunset League?
Wright State? Not bad. They were in the league. They were in it last year.
But wrong state.
Wright State. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wright State. Okay, on to mine. I went way more chalk than you did. Just some more cons. 37 points at Georgetown, 11 of 21 from the field, 6 of 10 from the three-point line, 9 rebounds, 10 assists, 1 rebound away from a triple-double. Mm. Gotta love Shamori.
Gotta get taller. Get that one rebound.
Oh, yeah, gotta get taller. 9 rebounds for Shamori, man.
5'10"?
I did not tag him as an effort guy. Maybe I gotta reconsider.
Definitely all effort.
He's like, man, look, I'm gonna sell people my Russell Westbrook ability, so I gotta get 9 rebounds. Like... The draft scouts are like, who cares about rebounding? It's like, dude, triple doubles. And like, oh, wait, okay. 5'10",
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, I can rebound. Like, we don't need you to. Just get back on defense so we don't get scored on in transition. Russ is like, no! I'm going to rebound. But, dude, how about we lead a fast break with you? He's like, no, let me rebound the ball. And Steven Adams was like, I have it, man. I've got the ball. Don't take it out of my hands. Anyway, Shamori Ponds, he followed that up like a 23-point outing against Villanova. Not bad, but come on.
Only 23?
You need 37 to beat Villanova.
I mean, mine got 48 and 33, but who's...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Who's making it a competition?
Wright State or Villanova? You know, Villanova kind of won the title last year. What, Wright State? Oh, yeah, they lost to Tennessee.
They were in the tournament.
They lost to Tennessee by like 25 in the first quarter. Okay, Kenny's.
Mine's the obvious one. The only man close enough in size.
Oh, yeah?
Zion Williamson.
25 and 11?
25 and 10.
Oh.
25 and 10 and 1 360, which is the most impressive dunk I've ever seen in college.
He literally just, like, he, like, did a flip. He just, like, did
he almost overturned.
You just picked the one that, like, everybody could pick right now.
He just...
I saw that dunk, and I was like, I'm not even going to try to find someone else. That is the most impressive thing I've seen in college basketball in a long, long time.
We have to give him the... We have to make Zion the first week recipient for somebody.
Okay.
Because he's the ultimate star.
But he's going to be
the
recipient
biggest,
a lot.
He's the biggest, brightest, shining star
right now. 30 and 10, 25 and 10 against... He went 25 and 10 against the school that he should have went to.
He's the most efficient
player in college basketball.
Oh, yeah. What is he shooting on the year? Like 65%?
Something ridiculous.
Oh, yes. Give me Zion all day.
20 points per game, 10 rebounds per game. Not very many assists, but why pass it to a dude who's just going to shoot whenever he wants to?
Mm-hmm.
RJ Barrett's just a black hole. Give the ball to Zion. Dunk the ball.
I mean, dude.
Just dunk
Dirk it. Diggler.
But let me...
He missed the dunk in the Wake Forest game. Yep.
He's oh, my the worst God. Player. Okay. Well, when you take more of them than any other team in the NCAA, you're mm-hmm. bound to miss one.
He has more dunks
than any of his opponents combined.
That's impressive. Wait, okay, here's an analogy for Duke basketball pertaining to Boogie Nights. The Dirk Diggler. So I think you got Dirk Diggler, Zion, of course, the biggest, the brightest, the star. I'm a big, bright, shining star. He says it to himself in the mirror. He comes down to shoot. There's his buddy Reed Rothschild, a.k.a. R.J. Barrett. They're kind of the 1-2 punch, like, you know what,
Jack is obviously Coach K.
Yeah, Jack Warner's Coach K.
But then you got the guy who funds all the projects, the big
mm-hmm.
the big coat. The dude who's like, hey, Jack, if you the want colonel. Money for this. So
he's the booster. He's the bag dropper.
Yeah, he's the bag dropper.
He's the dude dropping the bags.
And who's the dude dropping the bags? Who dropped the bag for Zion Williams?
Jeff Cable.
It's the perfect analogy.
Okay. And then guess what? You know who Roller Girl is? Oh, it's Cam Reddish. Because RJ and Zion are taking so many shots, they're just screwing Cam Reddish.
They're screwing his draft stock.
That's what they're doing.
They're just pounding him. They're pounding his draft stock.
They're pounding it down. They're like, oh, wait, Cam Reddish sucks. It's like, I just need the spotlight, man.
I was the first person to commit here.
Cam Reddish goes out on roller skates next game, I'm gonna die. We're quitting the pod. It ends. This will be the first and last episode. We won't have another one.
Second episode.
Oh yeah, whatever. Oh, this is the first official one. Last time we just did 25 teams. Oh, the Dirk Diggler segment brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. That was a fantasy for us. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, you need to go watch Boogie Nights, because we're going to make references to that movie every single week.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
It's a fantastic movie. All
right, now we got to get on to the draft talk. I said we each pick a prospect of the week, kind of guy under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Someone a lot of people don't, like, you might not necessarily think of when you think 2019 NBA draft. It might not come off the top of your head.
No.
Goss, who's your guy?
Stanford.
KZ
Okpala.
I kind of like KZ. Okpala. I haven't gotten to watch him a lot.
I watched him during a UCLA game. Uh-huh. Of course, I was watching for Bill Walton, but then I saw this guy.
Is he KZ?
KZ
good?
Okpala. He's really good.
Uh-huh.
He finishes at the rim really well. He's really long. Like, he's lanky, but like,
okay,
he's
Jay
really
Billis.
Athletic.
Okay, Jay Billis.
He's really athletic.
Hitting all the superlatives. He's long. He's lanky. Wingspan, athleticism. Finishes well through
the
rim.
That's what I like. That's what I like to see.
Those are the words.
22 and 10 versus and 10. UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Follow that up against UCLA, USC, 12 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he's also a really good defender.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think he has a lot of potential.
I think his name's in the first round, but I haven't heard anybody talk about him. Hey.
I just did.
We cover the draft, so we got him. Right.
I just did. He's only a sophomore.
My guy.
He's got a lot of room for improvement. He's a shitty coach, so he'll get better.
Who's
good coach?
Felipe Haas, or who's the guy over there?
I don't even know.
I think it's Haas.
It's not important.
Jared Haas. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, my guy is, maybe we already talked about him. He may not be under the radar to college basketball fans, but like to the draft people. Jarrett Culver, sophomore guard, 6'5". He's long, as you said.
No, you stole my
very lanky. Quote. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I can't. Long. We just got out of the Dirk Diggler segment. Don't say lanky. I know long is a little, and lanky. But really, really good at going to the rim. You know, just takes over games.
That's what I said for mine.
Well, no, just like, not. He's not like, a lot of some dudes are just like physical and like really fast, like. There's like, oh wait, we're gonna overpower you with athleticism and speed going to the rim. This dude, he's slower. He like does a lot of hesitation. He kind of looks like Gilgeous Alexander going to the rim more so than like a Fox.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of Alexander, how about
Fox
his cousin?
Fox is like the fastest player.
We'll talk about him in a minute.
His cousin's doing pretty well.
But Culver,
Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Culver, really good, decent defender. He just plays hard, which I like. I like playing hard. Goss got to play hard. Like Dirk Diggler plays hard. Yeah. Only plays hard. He's averaging 19, 6, and 4 in the year. 19 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Shooting 56 from the field, 40 from the 3-point line. That's good. Like, those are numbers that would get you in the NBA. I don't see why he's not a, like, guaranteed first-round pick. I think he should be. I just like him, and I like the way he can develop. His frame's kind of slim, but he can add weight to that. And as he gets bigger, he'll get better at finishing through contact. And he's already decent at that, already a good rebounder. I just think he's got a really high ceiling in the NBA, and he's still pretty young at 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely. Kenny?
I was not aware we were doing this.
We're going to go Shay's cousin.
What were we going to talk about? We could.
We can do Shay's cousin?
I was just going to go with an obvious one.
You can do Shay's cousin.
Yeah, do Shay's cousin. We've done him. Okay. We did him last week.
All right. Well, we can talk about Shay's cousin.
Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Virginia Tech? He's the best player on that team.
Best player on that team, surprisingly. We thought it'd be Justin Robinson. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh, he got like, Steph Curry comparisons or some crap.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Why, though?
No.
If you get Steph Curry, you have
he's
to
a good
be
shoot.
Trae Young.
Basically, if you're a 40%+ shooting point guard and you're kind of small, you get Steph comparisons.
Yeah, that's true.
He's averaging 19 points a game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists.
He's just a really good shooting guard.
6'5",
205. He's got a good stroke. Like the way he plays defense. Because he's kind of like the backup power forward, as well as the starting shooting guard. Because, Virginia Tech has no length whatsoever.
They have Blackshear, and then like the size goes down
they're
by like
6 Chris,
inches.
They're supposed to have Chris Clark. He's out for the year. He had some discipline issues. And then Landers Nolly, their freshman, also injured, hasn't played. And then Kadeem Sy was supposed to play this year. Nope. So
transferred.
All three of their other forwards are out. And last year they were like this too, but they had Chris Clark. And sure enough, they got like Ty Outlaw. And Nikhil Alexander Walker running the second team forward.
Shooting 47% from the field. Mm-hmm. 58%. Or no, sorry, 47% from three.
That's pretty good. That'll get it done in the NBA.
58% from the field.
Why is Negan Steph? Oh, I guess he's tall.
He's shooting guard. He gets Clay comparisons. Oh my god.
Clay. Yeah.
By the way, Clay.
He's not that
Clay
catch
doesn't
and shoot.
Dribble.
He's not.
Clay Thompson really 4 fair. Dribbles, 43
that's
points.
Like you said, that'll never happen.
That'll never happen again. Nobody will score 43.
Do you think he
again.
Knew what he was doing? Do you think he ever like he realized like that he had only taken 4 dribbles
probably.
The entire game?
There's he's had a couple
Can
stats
you?
Like that. Last time he scored like 50 on 12 dribbles, but like 4.
Even that. Yeah, 4 is insane.
Like, that's, like...
That just
you
shows you how impressive
dribbles.
The Warriors are.
They're like,
they
we don't need you to touch
well.
The ball.
He's
right?
A guard in 4 dribbles.
He literally doesn't even pass. And he doesn't need to. Like, the only
he's
time he gets the ball is when he's
spot
like,
up shooter.
Shoot. Yeah. I gotta think, what would he be
pass.
Like on
and
another
like two,
team?
And, like, two of those dribbles were, like, pump fake, step to
oh,
the
yeah,
side.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't even, like, up the floor at all.
Oh, yeah, he did one dribble to a mid-range jumper.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Well, yeah, the step into the mid-range jumper.
So Nikhil Alexander Walker, probably a first round pick, maybe at this point. Definitely,
if he can finish the year shooting 47%.
Yeah,
from three,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Casey Yokpala probably up in there. I think Culver will be a first round pick. Hopefully, people realize like, oh wait, this guy's like, he's a player. Yeah. He's better than Zaire Smith was. And Zaire Smith went, what, 13th, 14th, 16th, mm-hmm. something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, but he's a lot older.
Culver?
Yeah. Well, not a lot older.
He's a year older. But, like, Culver's way more offensively gifted.
They like athleticism, though.
Yeah, they do like athleticism. I'm like, just give me a
dude. They see athleticism, they're like, no, we don't even care if they can score.
Yeah, yeah, Zaire Smith can't score. He's only 11 a game.
It was he averaged 10 at
Texas Tech. It's like, guess what? Jared Culver's scoring 19 a game for the 8th-ranked team. He's, like, the only good offensive player on his team. And he's so, like, he has so many different moves going to the basket. I really like him.
I'm really impressed with Chris Beard, you know.
Chris Beard is the next great coach.
He's like developing in NBA talent.
He is. It's like, no, this, did you hear, have you heard Culver's story? He's from like, he's from Lubbock, like where Texas Tech is. Like the odds of you just pulling a kid from Lubbock, Texas, of all the places in Texas.
I'm telling you, Texas is a big high school, basketball and football, obviously.
They probably have more talent in athletics than any state not named California. Maybe even Florida. More. I think they have more than Florida. Dude, their high school football is insane.
So is Florida's.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like Texas is just bigger. There's more big cities.
Yeah.
Let's just have just these. It's like, what else are we going to do in Texas? We're just going to play in, we can play AAU games and basketball gyms and build $50 million high school football stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Okay, so we got through most of everything that happened this week in college basketball. We will be back next week, probably next Monday or Tuesday. We like to do them early in the week. Give you all time to listen before the big Saturday slate of games. You know, they should probably add us to the College Game Day crew. instead of Jay Williams, Jay Billis, and Seth Greenberg, it's like, you can keep Reese Davis. But Alex Weber, Cameron Goss, and Kenny Fair, the C-Man game.
Yeah. Like
three, there's three of you, right? Like, yeah, shut up. We don't need you.
It's a two-man game,
shut up. Best question.
Okay, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Go check them out. Podcast on everything. A lot of NBA podcasts. A couple football ones. Some just general sports ones.
Pop culture ones.
Some pop culture.
Wrestling.
Wrestling. Don't forget about wrestling. We got like a Dungeons and Dragons podcast.
Movies.
Board games. Anything. Movies. I'm a big movies pod fan. Oh, Paul, also, you want to look for me. I might be collaborating. Give me the, on the, oh, shoot. Wait, I need to find the name of the podcast I might be going on.
Mm.
It's part of the Pulse Podcast Network. I think it's the Kings one we have.
About De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I was like, I'll come on and talk about De'Aaron Fox because, you know, nobody knows De'Aaron Fox like I do. Nobody does, Gus.
Nobody knows him like you do.
Nobody. Royalty Basketball Podcast. Might check me out there. I might be on talking to D-Fox.
Check out Larry Jr. NFL if you like NFL.
You like any NFL coverage? You saw me. I made a predictions video.
You were wrong on both
games. I was wrong on both games. Hey, I took the favorite, man. You know what they say? Take the Vegas favorite.
I don't like taking the favorite in the playoffs.
I'm sorry, Gus. I took your boy Lamar. Poor decision by me, man.
Hey, he had an amazing fourth quarter.
Well, yeah, garbage time.
After the Chargers gave up.
It's like saying, hey,
they
man.
Don't give up in the NFL.
They gave up. Phillip Rivers was like, hey, whatever.
You're stupid.
Dude, those
are not true. It's not true at all. Okay. Like, some of the plays he made were
actually
insane.
They should have put in Joe Flacco. They would have won.
Honestly, they...
put in RG3. That would have been better.
Yeah. No. Dude, okay, wait. Can we, like, seriously... Lamar... What is his future? I feel like he's got a shelf life of like 3 years, and it's like
glorified Wildcat.
I disagree.
You think he's got a real throwing career, like a career? All right,
we're going away from our coverage.
All right, yeah, it's hey at the end of the podcast.
Follow us on Twitter.
At the two MG. Can we kick him out?
Capital G.
He doesn't even know our Twitter.
He's mad about Lamar Jackson sucking.
Anyway, no, it's in the pod. We're just gonna talk about whatever we want until we get to an hour.
I will defend Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Until I die.
I like Lamar. I don't know how he's a franchise quarterback.
Disagree.
I don't think he can throw the ball.
Disagree.
He can't throw the damn ball. He hasn't had a game where he passed for 200
yards.
So
that's because he doesn't throw a lot.
I know, but
as a quarterback,
here's the thing.
He doesn't.
He had
eight passes in the first half.
Glorified Wildcat. You can't win in the playoffs that way. Can't win unless you have a good quarterback.
I thought they could win with
the game. He also has a very bad offensive line, too.
Here's the thing with Lamar.
He did play bad, I agree, but like you're acting like he has one bad game and he's the worst quarterback in the history
of college. He is the worst quarterback in the history of college.
He went 6-2 as a starter, and he's the worst quarterback ever. That doesn't make any sense.
I just don't. Yeah, but okay. But you understand what he did during the regular season is not. You can't replicate that over a whole season, because he carried the ball 17 times a game.
We'll see.
Which if he did that for 16 games would be.
But do you watch him? Because he doesn't get hit. You don't understand. It's a talent. He doesn't get hit.
It's a talent.
And you still can't.
It is. It's a talent.
You're gonna give him 300 carries a season. That's like Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott, you can't play two positions
Ezekiel
at
Elliott,
once.
But Ezekiel Elliott, that's a running back that actually gets, he doesn't get hit. I know.
Okay, so you're saying Lamar be our starting running back and our starting quarterback in the NFL?
He is gonna be. He's your starting running back.
The thing is, his runs are always up the middle after the linebackers have already gone away, because it's probably a scramble or a scramble to the outside to
he's
the sideline.
So many injuries.
He's not.
He still gets hits, though. He still gets more licks than most quarterbacks. And
true.
Eventually, he's not going to be able to run the ball 17 times a game. Just not a lot of dudes can do that for that long at quarterback. What's the list of dudes that carries the ball more than 10 times a game? Who, Cam Newton? Cam Newton's like a tank.
Michael Vick.
Michael Vick's not in the league anymore for a reason.
And he can pass.
What do you mean?
Michael Vick's a better passer, too.
Way better.
Okay, but that's fine.
I'm not saying... I think Lamar can work for a couple... I think he can win a Super Bowl with Lamar, next year. But, I don't... He can't throw.
I think
that
the passing...
That expiration date's coming real.
You guys saying that he's, a bad passer is
He's an inconsistent.
An excuse.
He's an inconsistent.
Because he is a good passer at times.
He's the worst passer of any starting QB in the league.
And
that's
not
true at all.
I don't think there's a worse
That's not
one.
True.
If you give him Blake Bortles' passing ability, I think that makes him, a great player. But he can't. Blake Bortles went and dropped 300 yards in the
Patriots. So what you're saying is what I'm right.
What?
If you make him Blake Bortles passer, he's a great player because he can run.
Yeah.
But Michael Vick.
But I'm still
Michael
saying
Vick was a great quarterback.
That'll work as long as if you've got Blake Bortles, but with the threat of Lamar running, as long as you're not, if you run Lamar 10 times a game with Blake Bortles passing ability, that's a great player. Blake Bortles doesn't run. That's why he sucks.
And he's not that great of a passer.
Yeah, he's not a good enough passer to not be a runner at all. And he's not a runner at all.
Yeah.
Really. Lamar is a really threatening runner, and as long as you can just, hit the tight end seam, hitting the tight ends. But, if he can develop a deep ball, then he does have a deep ball.
What are you talking about?
His deep ball isn't great, though.
Inconsistent.
No. His worst pass is the out route, okay?
He can't hit
the out route. I watched him for 3 years at Louisville in the NFL. His worst pass is the out route.
He did hit an out route the other day, though. He was rolling out. He hit Crabtree for the one, but.
Yeah,
that wasn't
an out route.
He just kind of that was kind of
like
him ad-libbing.
His
it.
Is like, I don't know why, but he always throws it high on out routes.
Oh yeah, he just
well he throws it high if he misses he throws it high.
He needs to tighten that accuracy, put it in the pocket a little more. I genuinely feel like the Ravens could win with the gimmicky offense, where they're just we're just gonna control the clock and run the ball and keep.
In theory, it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
In theory, but obviously it doesn't work.
It didn't
That's
work against
not
the Chargers.
Necessarily true.
It just didn't work.
They went 6-2 while doing it. It works.
But see,
6-2 in the NFL
not
is
the
good.
Not in the playoffs.
And he's a rookie quarterback. You're
Tim Tebow won a playoff game.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
He's a rookie quarterback.
Did I say it? I did. Tim Tebow won a
playoff game.
Because a quarterback, they never get better from their rookie year.
You're
even
right.
If they...
With a guy like Lamar, he's just really dirty.
Running backs don't.
I don't.
And he's a running back, get it?
You think you're so funny, but
I do.
Not. You're not funny. You're not.
I'm
what
right.
do you do with Lamar right now? Obviously Flacco's going to retire, but do you have a second guy?
I mean, you can draft a
if quarterback. You're Baltimore,
do
if you're Baltimore,
you
we're giving this guy a six-year extension for millions of dollars.
I wouldn't give him a six-year extension.
Exactly.
Flacco's gone.
I don't think you have to pay Lamar big money because, I don't...
They have to have a backup quarterback. Their backup quarterback's not going to be RG3.
Maybe.
Flacco's
going to
leave.
You can sign a crappy one. But I don't... Oh, God.
But if
what
Lamar
do you do
gets hurt,
Baltimore,
which is
yeah.
more than average, more than likely
also,
than
the thing with Lamar is he's got to stop turning the damn ball over.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
But
the last fumble wasn't necessary.
No, that wasn't his fault.
That wasn't
really.
His fault.
God, that pocket.
I didn't watch the other part, to be honest. the first three quarters, and I know he played bad. I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm. But
he was 2 for 9 from passing.
I was like, wait a minute. He had negative four passing yards. And then in the yards.
Second half, he threw for 13 for 18.
In the fourth quarter, he's threw for, like, ridiculous.
Well, yeah, but, like, if you watch the fourth quarter, the Chargers were like, we're just going to let them run out of time, so we're going to let... But they just, like, basically it's had three... Time. They had three safeties. They would send them all back, and they were like, hey, Lamar, beat us in the middle.
And he did.
Beat us short. Well, and he like, did, but they lost. They're like, even if you do, the guys are going to be open, and guess what? We're still you're still
we're going to tackle you in the open field. Time's going to run out.
I mean, he also got had a deep ball in that game that was a touchdown, too.
That was a terribly thrown ball. They won to Crabtree? The one to Crabtree. That was he almost threw him out of bounds.
That was a perfect pass. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to throw away from the defender. You're supposed to...
Not out of bounds. Not in the stands.
It wasn't out of bounds.
It was real close.
It was a good pass. It was a good pass.
It was what are
you,
good.
You don't...
Oh. It wasn't a great...
I will it fight you on that.
I'm not... Like,
that was a good pass.
It was a good pass.
It was really you said it was a terrible pass.
I couldn't throw that pass. I said it wasn't that great.
It
wasn't that great.
He put it where only his wide receiver could catch it. And it was an easy catch.
Well,
so right over the shoulder.
Someone on the side.
And it doesn't make any sense why you right think that's a bad pass.
Pull it up. Pull it up.
I'll pull it up.
Right over the shoulder. Right over the shoulder.
It was right over the shoulder. Over.
Right in here.
Over the shoulder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we can debate the future of Lamar all day. I'd still, like, I don't know. Where would you, if of the of the 30 starting quarterbacks right now that are projected, like, in the NFL, how many would you take... How many would you take Lamar over?
Not a lot. Not a whole lot. Like
maybe 10?
I'd say 10.
Right now? Because I know he's good for right now.
10, probably.
I mean, you got to think about a lot of the quarterbacks that are going to be gone.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Like him or Kirk Cousins?
Like, the thing is, like, if we're looking, talking about after this season or, like, right now, because, like, I could name a couple people that maybe, like, retired.
Well, yeah. Okay, so, like, let's throw out Eli and... Joe Flacco.
I mean, I'm not saying... You guys are going to laugh at me for this.
Right.
But, like, Tom Brady may retire. So, like, I don't know if I want to throw him in that.
Oh, well, like, obviously, if
we're
I've
just
got
Brady, going, we're just going based off skill.
We're just going right... Like,
well, he's not, like, obviously, better than Tom Brady, but...
But, like, I feel like...
Than Eli.
I feel like Jackson's still behind the Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, Andy Dalton echelon of quarterbacks. Because he can't... He's not a reliable thrower. And, like, if I get into a 3rd and 10 with Lamar, it's like, what the hell do I do?
But he's a...
Like, what am I doing if it's 3rd and 10?
He converted a 3rd and 11,
actually.
Maybe they
can trade for Carson Wentz.
Oh, dude, the trade for Carson Wentz is an awesome one.
Joe Flacco.
What is that?
Straight up for Carson Wentz.
Okay, so here's what you do if you trade for Carson Wentz. You give up Lamar,
but
a first and a second.
Yeah, they'd have to
do it
trade Lamar.
Do it immediately.
Trade Lamar.
I'd do it immediately.
You'd have Lamar, you have to give away Lamar... And maybe 2 firsts?
I'd do it immediately.
Lamar and 2 firsts? That's 3 first-round picks.
And 2 first-round? Not, yeah,
Wentz
not
is pretty good, man. I know they got Foles, but Wentz is still really good.
Maybe not that much.
Not that much?
Foles is older.
The Eagles would be really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Eagles, you have 2 firsts from Foles. But, like, I don't understand, like, because Foles doesn't have a very big window. So, like, if you're going to trade Wentz, why would you get picks back? Just get, like, players back that can help you win a title now.
Yeah.
If you're going to ride Foles, who's...
Who do they got?
The Ravens?
Yeah.
They have a great defense.
Like yeah, they have a great defense.
Eric Weddle's not a trade piece because he's going to be there for, like, 1 year.
Zadarius?
Zadarius, free agent. Who else is good on that defense? Oh, Marlon
Humphrey. CJ Mosley.
Take Marlon Humphrey and CJ Mosley.
CJ Mosley would not... They would not trade CJ Mosley for Carson Wentz, I don't think. These are probably their best defensive player, other than Eric Weddle.
Carson Wentz is a franchise QB, though. Like, what are we talking about here? You're giving up your best defensive player. You give up 3 best defensive players for a franchise QB. Or I would.
But the point is they're trying to make Lamar Jackson a franchise quarterback, whether you like it or not.
Like, if the Packers came calling and said, we'll give you Aaron Rodgers for Khalil Mack, the Bears would be like, ah, yeah.
Well, it's Aaron Rodgers. You're talking about the second best quarterback.
If
in
they
the
said,
league.
Okay, wait. Let
Aaron
me try.
Rodgers requested a trade today.
Let me try to think. If Cleveland calls you and says Baker for Khalil Mack, they're like, okay, we're taking Baker.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Baker for Khalil.
The Bears don't need Baker. They got a better quarterback, probably.
Baker's way better than Mitch Trubisky.
Not right now.
I like Baker better future. I'm a Baker guy. Terrible. He impressed me.
He's only like, they're like practically the same age.
What annoyed me was people were like, well, like Lamar's so much better than Baker. I was like, you watch the games, man? Like, give me Baker Mayfield over Lamar every day. Lamar's defense is way better than his, first of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was like, I Louisville Twitter like roasted Baker Mayfield. I was like, come on, guys.
No, that was because somebody said Baker has done more in the NFL so far.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's not necessarily true. And they just showed like the win percentages and shit like that.
The NFL coaching carousel is an interesting one. Now we're just hiring young guys who are like have any kind of offensive background, like Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
Dude went 16 and 40 against Power 5 opponents.
He's not gonna do well.
No, like, you know what?
You gotta have a defense in the NFL. You're handsome. What
you kind of look like Sean McVay. Little gray hair in there. Little beard.
They're trying to do another Sean McVay.
Oh, yeah. We want a Sean McVay. It's like, dude, what the... You're not... Just go... You don't have to go get a Sean... Like, hey, Packers, don't hire the Texans offensive coordinator. They're the 23rd best offense in the NFL in the statistics. Like, come on. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, they need defense anyway.
Packers. I was like, gosh darn, what are you doing?
They're the worst defensive team.
The Packers?
Yeah. They're so bad. I thought they'd be better because they got like two first round caliber cornerbacks.
You have Jair,
both played well, and they still suck defensively.
I know. Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Alright, well, that's
Josh Jackson's my dude.
Yeah. Why?
Josh Allen's
I
don't know.
I watched a lot of his highlights, and he's very impressive.
He was good at Iowa.
He's very impressive.
Alright. Oh, I thought we were talking about Suns Josh Jackson playing quarterback.
Obviously, Jair's my dude, but...
Josh Allen's going to be my dude. Best defensive player in the history of the program. All right, anyway, that's it. We're done, right?
Yeah.
That's enough. 1 hour and 6 minutes. A lot of Lamar talk at the end. Okay. We're signing off. Yeah. Where is Chris Early?
Where is he?